live from Mosier Media Studios, uploaded to the internet, downloaded into your hearts. This is a special episode of the Warpath Podcast, episode number 6. We're going to go ahead and call it the Pizza and Pierogies episode. Or actually, Pizza and Pierogi episode. We're going to go with a, what is that called? It's not the plural, but the...
Singular.
Because today, Anthony LaGuardia and Adam Gokowski will be going alone without Nick Pietrovoya.
And we don't have any guests. It's just us, and it's a little bromantic in here.
It is a little bromantic in here. It's a different feel without Nick in between us. Already we're starting off here. We weren't going to go with kielbasa and Italian sausages because we didn't want it to get a little too carried away, but I think we just did.
Yeah, we went there.
Yeah, we went there. We went there, but we've got an empty seat today, but we do have full beers here. Today we're drinking Yingling again, and I'm drinking the Bock beer. Adam, you're drinking water.
Because I just had coffee. It's been a long week, and I need to wake up.
It's been a long week. Yeah, it has been already. It's Wednesday, and it's been a long 3 weeks. This is the first episode since the week before the opening day.
Yeah, it was actually the second game of the season, and now we're 8-11. It's been about 16 games since the last time you guys heard from us.
Yeah, it has been. It was a mistake on my part. I forgot to get a hold of everybody, but it was also a big day for Joe. It was his anniversary. What do you say? It's his
6 years married, 14 together.
Pretty impressive stuff there. But, just like the last... the last name, Fortunato. Buon Fortunato. Good luck there to Joe on his anniversary there. Or Buona Fortuna is what we would actually say in Italy. But we'll get to baseball right now. A lot going on since opening day. And, Adam and I sat with each other for two innings.
Yeah, I was going to say it was barely any time.
I got there a little bit late. I had to work a little bit late. And Adam was sitting in the seats. So what did you think of opening day?
Before or after the game? That's the ultimate question, before or after the game.
Let's get the feel of the game.
Yeah, God, Travis Hafner, once again, is still the Indians killer, but this time at the other side of the dugouts. God, that thing was so far.
I walked into the ballpark as he hit the home run, and I heard the crowd go crazy. I yelled, "Who hit that?" And somebody yelled to me, Hafner, and I started to raise my hands like, "Yeah!" And then, wait a minute. Hafner kills us. Ubaldo Jimenez killed us.
Yeah.
But Hafner being the guy to hit the home run beginning of the game, just unbelievable. But it was just a bad opening day all around. It was a bad opening day all around, but, bad start to the season there.
I mean,
at home.
God, every year it's awful. I've been going to opening days since 2007, and obviously the first one was the snow out.
Mm-hmm.
2008, we actually won. 2009, lost again. 2010, I boycotted because I was mad that Mike Redmond was our starting catcher. So that was my protest. But still, they lost. 2011 was Fosso's, 12-run first inning, something ridiculous.
Something like that, yeah.
Something horrible.
If Major League Jake was here, we'd know.
Yeah, that's true.
Jake, you're not with us. Where are you?
And then last year we were up 4-1 in the ninth, and Chris Perez blew that. And then there was this year.
Yeah.
So by next year, who knows? Maybe I'll have a win.
Hey, next year we're getting the win. It's all right. And I think things have been looking a little bit better in the last week. It was a rough time against New York. We had the bad opening day, and then we had a couple rainouts.
Yeah, I don't think any of us predicted that.
No. Actually, Alan was probably the closest with his predictions of saying they're still the Yankees, and they showed that they're still the Yankees. But nobody predicted
two rainouts.
0-2 for the series.
What was the run difference? Wasn't it 25 to maybe 6 or something?
Something that along those lines. It was pretty bad. But, what are you going to do? I mean, we played well against Toronto,
Tampa Bay. We won 1 out of 3.
1 out of 3. New York, not so well, but then we ran up against Chicago, the White Sox.
2 out of 3 there.
2 out of 3 there. That's what you got to ask for. Boston.
Yeah, I went to 2 of those games, and it just felt like the American League Championship Series in 07. And it's just right off the bat, just constant runs, and it was like just digging yourself a hole too deep right away.
I, you know what though, and not to get too wax too philosophical here, poetic, but Boston, you kind of had that feeling that that might happen after the bombing, that these guys might come out here with a little bit, you know, chip on their shoulders, go out there, win one for Boston. So, you know.
Yeah, America was rooting against Cleveland.
Yeah, we had no chance in that one. And then we ran into Houston this past weekend.
Which we should have swept them.
We should have swept them. It's
That's the motto with Houston this year. We should have swept them.
Yeah, it was the one thing that I can't believe is I didn't know Brett Myers was pitching for Boston or for Houston. We had the game where we gave, what, it was 19-6? Was that...
that was Scott Kazmir.
No, I know. I said I can't believe he was pitching for Houston, though. I thought Brett Meyer might have gotten traded to Houston that day and that, you know, gave up the, you know, the oil can of giving up 19 runs.
Oh,
you know, it was it was brutal. That was the first thing I tweeted when one of my buddies is like, holy smokes, did you see the Indians score? And I'm like, there? Turn the TV on it. And I mean, we were already up, I think.
It was a Browns-Texans score.
Exactly. Exactly. It was nuts. And, you know, now we're up against the White Sox. Today, you know, Zach...
McAllister,
you know, pitched. And up and down, you know, Chicago got him for 3 runs. And that's all they needed. You know, that was the tough thing. I mean, we had an opportunity for, you know, 4 games in a row.
Yeah, and the Achilles heel of this team obviously has been pitching.
It has been.
But we also forget you have 2 feet, and right now the other Achilles heel would be the batting. They've been hitting, what, like 3 runs average per game?
I think it's average of 3 runs per game, and you know, we're just the unfortunate thing is we're wasting all of our runs in one game. You know, putting 19 runs up, next game you maybe score a couple runs. It's, you know, they got to become more consistent. But pitching wise, you know, we really only have one pitcher who has been, you know, consistent and dominant, and that has been Justin Masterson. The guy has just been, you know, lights out so far. You know, one bad, you know, and I wouldn't even call it one bad outing. You know, he had one bad inning
versus Boston,
and that's it. You know, against Houston this past weekend. He was pretty good. It was they've got to do a little.
Well, he didn't pitch versus Chicago.
It was Chicago. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he gave up like 2 runs.
2 runs
and gave up his first home run of the season so far. So yeah. Was it first home run out of 4 starts, 5 starts?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, but that's a hell of a start to the season for Justin Masterson. I think right now he's got the look of, you know, we needed that ace, and it looks like we've got that ace. But you go behind him, who's the next guy in line? It really. Nobody has stood out. I mean, it's not Ubaldo.
Definitely. I think Ubaldo's numbers are, I think his days are numbered. You know, every time he's out there, he's just himself. He's the, you know, second coming of Fausto. And who was the guy that pitched for the Marlins the year they won the World Series in 03? Dontrell Willis.
Yeah.
So Fausto was the second coming of him. So I guess we're saying Ubaldo is the third coming of Dontrell Willis. You know, they have this one fantastic season, and then it becomes this mental game with them.
Yeah.
And you go from there, who's going to break him out of this spell, you know?
I don't know. I mean, they've tried to slow down his timing to the mound, you know, take off that second, or speed it up, I think, because they said he was flinching for like half a second to a second, which supposedly is a lifetime to a pitcher. I never was confused for a pitcher when I played. But you know, they're trying to take that out. And then, you know, you're trying to have the manager to say that he's not ready to give up on Jimenez. But, you know, how long do you go with a guy during the season before you say, all right, that's enough. You can't keep throwing him out there.
He'll have one good start, and you're like, okay, maybe he's back in form. And then he'll just get blown up again.
Yeah, to me, I think you have to take a look at, and granted, we're only 19 games into the season. You have to take a look at, you know, you can't have both he and Myers in the rotation at the same time, because we're talking about, you know, the rotation. We said, you know, okay, Justin Masterson is your number one. Who's your number two? I mean, right now, your number two is Zach McAllister.
I was going to say McAllister, and he should have won today.
He should have won today. Who was it? It was Swisher was up the bat in the 6th or 7th, and they had 2 on. Or no,
they had a run, the tying
Kipnis on third.
Yeah, the tying run on third with 1 out. He struck out on Rayburn I think, grounded out or something. But even with that, Rayburn, bases loaded, two outs, and he swung on the first pitch.
Yeah.
Into a double. Actually, no, it was one out and swung into a double play.
Yeah. And I'm seeing that more often. You know, over the past few years, we've watched the Indians be a team that goes in there and, you know, they take the first pitch, they try to work the counts. To me, it feels like they're not trying to work the count. The only guy that I've watched that I feel like is trying to work the counts is the guy that at the beginning of the year we predicted is going to have the most strikeouts in the season is Mark Reynolds.
Yeah, he's a home run hitting machine right now.
Home run hitting machine, and he, you know, batting .286. I think this is the first time that he's been below three. He was below .300 and then dipped back up over it for a while. Now he's dipped back below today with only one hit. Which was for an RBI, but I'm watching these guys and they're going in and not taking swings. You know, shoot, who is it? It's Cabrera.
Yeah,
I'm seeing him swing at first pitches all the time. It's like, dude, take your time, work the count. But I don't know if that's a Francona philosophy of go in there and just be aggressive.
Well, it's funny that you brought up Francona because with this record of 8-11. I'm glad it's not worse. You know, it could possibly
be
worse.
It could very well be worse.
But this is a typical Francona start. You know, you look at some of those Red Sox years, you know, they start off like 1-10 or something, and then they climb up and get hot in the summer. So hopefully we'll be doing that. But right now, this pitching is just unbelievable. But as I said before, there's two heels on everybody. And what is the deal with Kipnis right now?
That's tough. That's a tough one to say. You know, I mean, the elbow was hurting on him. You know, that's understandable. Today, Kipnis, what did he do? He
got an RBI.
Got an RBI. One for four. You know, batting average of .170 so far this season.
Yeah, he struck out on what night was it? Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
When the game was on the line, and luckily Struble, who has also been struggling, he got the game-winning hit. So I don't know what's going on with them right now. They just got to get their stuff together.
Yeah, the middle infield is just looking really bad right now. I mean, Cabrera, in my book, the way that the season has started off, and I hate to be negative on it because I'm the one that preaches positivity, but maybe they should have traded Cabrera during the season or during the off season and gotten another pitcher because right now, what could you get for a guy like him right now?
You know, the thing is, and I was talking to my dad about this, I feel like they're going to the bank next offseason for pitchers, kind of like what they did this year with Bourne and Swish.
Mm-hmm.
Next year will be the year of the pitcher. That's going to be, you know, I can't tell you who because it might be a trade, but there's going to be the big deal will be the pitcher of next year.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, talking about today, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I like Acerbo a lot. You know, I partied with him once. Down at Big Fish at the Valley in, what, Chagrin Falls or Cuyahoga Falls? Cuyahoga Falls, Cuyahoga Falls. And, yes, there is a picture, and we can post it online. But
and there's your daily picture chat.
So many pictures. But my point being is I like him. He's an all-star, and he's back in shape. But, you know, knowing this team and knowing, you know, the leadership of the team, I have a feeling Francona, if it gets any worse, which possibly it might with this pitching, Francona's going to sit them down and they'll rally the troops.
I hope so. I mean, it's just, it's tough to watch. I mean, I've watched every game except for today and one other game. And my wife the other night, she's like, do we really have to watch this anymore? Just watching the pitching give up, you know, run after run. I think, was it Ubaldo? Was Ubaldo on Friday night?
He was
Friday or Saturday. When was Ubaldo's last start?
Oh, he would have been actually Sunday, I think. I think he was Sunday.
Was it this past Sunday? It was versus Houston on the 21st?
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. So, yeah, it was Sunday. And just watching, and she's just like, really? Really, we gotta watch this? You know, and we continue to watch, and it's just brutal to watch somebody's pitching. They're going to lose not only the casual fan, but you're going to lose the ability to, stay in this. I mean, we were looking at the standings just a little while ago, you and I, and the standings, Kansas City is 10-7. Minnesota 9-8, Detroit 9-9, Cleveland 8-11, the White Sox 8-12. We're only three games out of first place. We're not that far behind. But if the pitching doesn't become more consistent, you know, what do you do? Where do you go? I mean, minor leagues, you've got Trevor Bauer, who's looked like a stud down in the minors again.
But he had struggled. He was struggling against Tampa Bay.
But first start in the American League, first start for the Indians, shake out the nerves. I actually thought he didn't look that bad, you know, for a first start.
For a 15-year-old.
Yeah, for a 15-year-old, he didn't look too bad. And he kept his composure, which is more than we can say about Carrasco.
That whole thing is ridiculous.
Which is, I mean, that guy's pitching lights out in AAA ball, but now they bring him back up. You lose him for 8 games.
Was it eight?
It's 8 games. You know, it's.
How do you manage that?
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I think you almost have to send down somebody. You almost have to go without one extra.
It'd be a reliever.
A reliever or somebody in the field. I mean, I don't know who you send down, but eventually they're going to have to bring him up and serve that suspension. Because honestly, if you're going, Masterson, and then you're going with McAllister, and then you go into Carrasco and Bauer, I'm a little more comfortable. And then you go into Kazmir, I'm a little more comfortable with that lineup than I am with Ubaldo and with Brett Myers,
yeah.
You know, so it's brutal, but I think they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to bring him up sooner. I think we were talking late May, early June that they might bring up Bauer and Carrasco, but
it might be even sooner.
At this point, I think you got to go in the next week or two and just dip down and take, you know,
before it gets out of hand. Yeah, might be by May Day. Who knows?
Before it gets out of hand, you got to do something about it. So,
see, and, you know, I'm looking at the standings, you know, whenever on my free time. And even the best teams are struggling right now.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the Atlanta Braves. They're hot as fire. But you look at Washington Nationals, they just got swept by the Cardinals. Which, yes, the Cardinals are one of the better teams. But still, the Nationals are predicted to win the World Series. It's supposed to be a Detroit-Washington World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And on that side, Detroit's struggling. They're only playing 900 ball. What, are they only a game better than us?
They're only a game better than us, yeah.
So, you know, everybody's struggling.
Game and a half, I'm sorry.
Okay, game and a half. Still, not much still at all. Not much, you know, yeah. And they could be in last, and then
the and next I mean, Victor day, Martinez, he's not having a good year.
Which I predicted that, though.
Yeah.
Because he's older now. He just got off his injury. You can never really predict, even the youngest, how they're going to bounce back.
Yeah.
But he's had some years in him. So that I'm not too surprised. And then having Torii Hunter, who, how old is he, like 39?
65.
Wait, 65, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that proves my point exactly, though. You know, he's older. It's not like they signed anyone. Yeah, he might still have some innings left in him.
Yeah.
But it's not like they got some young stud.
No, they don't. I mean, it's all the talk about them. To me, their age is, you know, what's going to hurt them.
For the hype they got, they should be playing like Atlanta.
To me, the correlation is the Los Angeles Lakers. LA Lakers should have been awesome. They bring in the young stud, Dwight Howard.
And Steve Nash.
Tigers bring in the young stud.
Fielder.
And, you know, it's kind of the same thing right there. You know, they too much old blood in there, you know, to keep it going. I think that Kansas City is going to stay far above them. You know, I'm hoping that Cleveland's going to jump Detroit. My expectations are if they can make some pitching moves that they will. But because the bats have got to come around. There's too many proven bats in the lineup to not come around. But, you know, so tell me, what did you think about Kazmir this past weekend?
You know, my buddy put it best, the other foul pole. It was a shame the fact that we were up like 19 runs and Kazmir could not get a win out of it because they pulled him out too soon.
Yeah.
And that says a lot, that you can be up by 19 runs and not get the win.
Yeah.
How often does that happen? Close to never.
I think they actually said that it may have only happened one other time in Major League Baseball history.
And I was just, you know, using that as a, you know, term of speech where you actually had the answer to that.
Yeah.
But that's unbelievable. How can you be up that much and not get the win?
Yeah.
And that says a lot about your talent.
Yeah. It was, I think he did for a first start in the major leagues. And how many years is it?
Two.
2 years. It was not horrible in comparison when you saw Ubaldo Jimenez pitch and you've seen Brett Myers pitch. There was, you know, what you've got to do is you've got to hope that he's able to build off of it. So we'll be able to tell in the next start how he's going to look. But for him not to be able to hold that was just absolutely brutal. I'm watching it. I'm going, oh my God. You know, this feels like the Indians of the, you know, 80s that I remember as a kid, you know.
Well, you know, I'm going to speed you up to date a little bit. I think sadly enough, and I hate to say this, they're reminding me of the 2009 Indians.
Yes.
Because they had one hell of a lineup on paper,
mm-hmm.
and they just couldn't hit. And the pitching, because when they did hit, the pitching would blow it.
Yeah.
And I can pinpoint a few games right off the bat for you, because it all happened in a week span in June.
Mm-hmm.
June 19th, 2009. I know I sound like Major League Jake. I can just shoot out numbers like that. But June 19th, 2009, and the only reason I remember this, because it was the worst game I've ever been to. It was the Indians versus the Cubs in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up, God, like 8-1 going into the eighth. And Cliff Lee was pulled. You know, he had probably by that point 115 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to go to your, I think I just spoke Spanish right there. You're going to, of course, go to your reliever when you have a nice lead like that.
Yeah.
We blew it in like 10 innings. And I just remember punching a seat and my right hand started just vibrating, shaking like I broke it. Luckily, I didn't. But the next game, same song and dance. It was actually Kerry Wood that blew both those games.
Yeah.
And then the next game was Jeremy Sowers, and it was just a typical loss. But the week before that, I think it was like the day before my trip, it was Indians versus the Brewers. Because it was during the how Interleague worked. You know, you played a certain division, so it was a Central that year.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Fielder, you know, after we got like a 3-run lead, just decks it all the way in the center field. And that, you know, was one of those nights that you just get so pissed off at your team, you don't sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a few days later was the Chicago series. And then, and by this point, I'm lucky I'm alive. I decided to see the Indians play in Pittsburgh. Same song and dance. Indians, Cliff Lee on the mound. It was a Thursday night because it was the season. Or not the season. It was a series finale.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I worked at a summer camp, so it was nice. I got off at like 3, drove all the way to Pittsburgh, went to the game, and came back. But, you know, we lost that one in extras. Or maybe in the 9th or something. But that's how consistent the pitching was when it came to losing. You could no way in hell keep a lead. You know, your starters would go out there, and then just going to the bullpen was automatically 3 runs.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. It doesn't matter who it was. Or, you know, whatever. It was just immediately 3 runs.
Yeah, yeah. And amazingly enough, our bullpen. Well, not amazingly enough. I mean, it was kind of expected. Thank God for our bullpen. Although Chris Perez is giving us a little bit of a scare every once in a while.
Okay, the thing is with him, and he was actually a product of 09.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they traded him to St. Louis. And I just remember, do you by chance remember his first start in the Indians uniform?
I don't know.
It was the real life Rick Vaughn. Immediately balls are going over the umpire's head and just wild, and you're just like beep beep beep, and like you sound like a Morse code, you know, just swearing up the wazoo. But the point being is that was just example of that year.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if he's really in my eyes an all-star. I'll be honest with you.
Wow.
Because in my eyes you get like, yes, the Mariano Rivera, the Trevor Hoffman's of the game, the Dennis Eckersley's.
Yeah.
You know, they're 1, 2, 3. Like, when you hear those names, you might as well just not even have, you might as well just not even bat.
Yeah.
Let alone swing at it. Yeah. So, you know, with these guys, you know, you put somebody on first with no outs, and then you might pop somebody out, and then you somehow have two guys at the corners, and then luckily you hit in double play. That's not what you're supposed to do as a closer. You got to throw a smoke, go 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And I understand closers are a different animal, but good God.
He's been giving me just memories of Bob Wickman.
Yeah.
You know, just load the bases up and work your way out of it. You know,
I think about closers Not a lot. You know, I don't spend my time thinking about closers. But you look at the last, I don't know, five Indians that were closers, like main closers. You have Perez. You have Joe Borowski, which,
Joe Borowski.
Yeah. Wow. Well, because my father and I, we support Polish players, except for AJ Pruszynski and Joe Borowski.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a name that I'll never forget. Then Wickman was a product of that. Steve Carsey was all right.
Yeah, not too bad.
Steve Carsey was all right. Then, you know, obviously, Jose Mesa.
No, there was one in between Steve Carsey and Jose Mesa. Oh, there was Paul
Shuey. Which, another one, I can remember being 8 years old, and my father, God, and then you hear my mom like, Adam, not in front of the kids. I'm named after my father. Adam, Jesus, come on.
You know how bad that hurts me is that you say you were 8 years old at that point, and Paul Shuey was closer. I was 20.
You're probably my age.
I was in my 20s, we'll just say.
Yeah, I was like third grade and just learning the game by that point.
Wow, that's serious stuff right there.
But I honestly I can't think of a closer.
But they've all given us that, except for Carsey. Carsey was pretty nails.
Well,
and Jose was too. I mean, for the most part, you know, until you got to the playoffs.
And then you talk about the 97 World Series all day. Then.
But
I know who we forgot.
Uh-oh.
And I can't believe we forgot him. John Rocker.
Wow.
That's who we forgot.
Yes.
So between Wickman, was it? God, yeah, because Wickman, the reason why I remember this, in 2001, and it had to be, I met Bernie Kosar this day. It was probably like September 8th. Mm-hmm. It was a Saturday game. White Sox in Cleveland. Jose Canseco did hit a home run. And I know, I probably sound like Rain Man right now. I can reminisce all of this.
And I want to give all the love in the world to Major League Jake. We're not ripping on you when we say that. We were just amazed by your knowledge.
By the memory.
We were at an Arrows game, Adam and I, last night in Arrows game, talking about the knowledge of Major League Jake. So, Jake, if you're, I know you're listening. We're not ripping on you. It's just amazing.
No, we're impressed, you know. If anything.
We're a little bit embarrassed that we don't know that much.
But back to the story, though, it was, God, it had to be a few days before 9/11. And that year, my mom was quoted by the plane dealer. She wrote to the editor, saying, because the Indians traded. And the reason I remember this is Carsey, I'm pretty sure, was in the Rocker trade.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote to the plane dealer saying, how can I have my sons support a man that I, you know, raised to be against? You know, because of the racist and horrible homophobic and every kind of, you know, hate crime verbally a man can do. John Rocker represented that.
Yeah.
But that year, my mom protested. She just, you know, no more. She refused to go to any games, but somehow she ended up at that one. And it was a late, you know, or not late. It was a mid-September game. And we had some killer seats right along the bullpen. And I remember talking to Bob Wickman, trying to get a ball from him. And he was the nicest guy. He's like, well, if I have to give you one, I have to give one to everybody, blah, blah, blah. But he, you know, for somebody, you know, denying me a baseball, he was extremely nice.
Yeah.
You know, because I was a 12-year-old kid. He can just spit his chewing tobacco towards my way and tell me to, you know, hey, kid, get the hell out of here. You know, but no, but he was the nicest. And I'm trying to even remember where I'm going with this story.
John Rocker.
But, oh, yeah, the fact that Rocker and Bob Wickman, they collided with time. It would have been like the 2001 was when the times overlapped.
Yeah. I'm glad I remember, because I was starting to think, where the hell is he going with
Yeah,
this
it's one? Like I didn't even know by that point. You know, I could just ramble all day about baseball.
That's the thing without Nick in here. Nick kind of sits in between us, and he'll look at me sometimes, and he'll point at his watch. And, you know, and kind of, hey,
kind of like a father.
He's the fatherly figure.
He's like the father when your kids are coming home late from their curfew.
Yeah.
He's in his robe and just tapping at his wrist. Like, what? Do you know what time it is? It's 10:15. Yeah. I told you 10.
I've heard him a few times. Well, we should wrap this up. But
Frazier's on in 10 minutes. He just seems like a guy that would watch Frasier. He's a mature one.
He does. He is the mature one. He is the one with the kind of the hand on the
He would be Frasier, you would be Seinfeld, and I'd be like Different Strokes. That's the sitcoms we watch.
Are you, are you Arnold or are you Willis?
Well, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both?
You have to have the smile like Arnold and the swag like Willis.
Wow.
Nobody wants to be Mr. Drummond, though, except for the paychecks, because that guy's just nothing but a dork.
He was. He was. But he was the man. He was the man.
Yeah, when we have What You Talking About...
And it takes Different Strokes.
Yeah, when we have What You Talking About podcasts, that's when we'll talk more about Different Strokes. Which, hey, if you want to combine Indians and Different Strokes, I can do that right now for you.
All right.
One of my favorite coaches, and yes, there are pictures of us together, not at like dinner or anything, but at the game, was Carl Willis. I loved him. And the reason why I said that, because one time when he came back with Seattle, I'm wearing What You Talking About Willis shirt just for him. And I pointed out, it got to the point that he would throw baseballs to me because he would come up to me and say, hey, how are you doing? And shake my hand. And I have an autographed picture of him, and he has an autographed picture of me. And I'm not lying to you at all. If you ever meet him, because when he came back from Cleveland, I said, Carl, do you remember me? And his response was, how can I not? You were the only one that liked me. And if he ever came back in a Cleveland Indians uniform, especially a Terry Francona, that's the planets aligning.
It's the Cabasas wet dream.
Oh, God. I mean, I loved him. I mean, all joking aside, he has, what, 3 Cy Youngs he coached?
I think so, yeah.
King Felix, CeCe, and Cliff.
And Cliff, yeah.
But he was the nicest guy in baseball. The nicest. So, yeah, I mean, I would always heckle him, and I used to call him Crazy Carl. It all started when I was early high school because he had the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him and Eric Wedge both had it, but you would see Carl Willis go out there, and, you know, you just see that mustache doing the talking. So when I was, like a senior in high school, I made up a sign, which I will post this picture too, and it has Gary Coleman – with an Indians cap on, and Carl Willis, and all it says is, what you talking about, Carl Willis? It was the perfect sign. That's because crazy. When you go out and talk to the pitchers on the mound, bam, you hold that up. You know, it just rolls with the baseball humor of it. It just ties in perfect. It's a good pop culture reference.
Yeah.
I was at once the Picasso of baseball signs. I was actually really, really good at them.
Really? That's impressive. That's I did not know. We'll have to... We'll also maybe do a giveaway of some of Adam's artwork on Warpath Podcast.
You know, I could probably write a blog on how to do it, but a lot of my signs are gone, and they've been gone for a while. I was in the Plain Dealer, and I was on ESPN. I would get on TV a lot. You know, you just got to go with the flow, and you kind of know what the media is looking for. Like, what's popular in pop culture? Like, you know, after, and God bless everybody in the Boston Marathon accidents, but the Indians facing Boston was a guaranteed sign media attention.
Oh, yeah.
Because anything, you know, along the lines of God, you know, Cleveland supports Boston, or you're going to get on TV.
Yeah.
You just have to go with the times. You know, but I just feel like the biggest dork being 23, and I could still be like, oh, that's a terrible sign.
I actually think it would be kind of fun, you know. One of my favorite things, you know, favorite TV shows is a TV show called Impractical Jokers. And they actually go out to AAA games, and they start chants at the games. And they try to get everybody chanting with them. And if they lose, then they have to do some crazy thing, you know, after the show. But one of the best ones was one of the guys got up, and he had to start a chant that was, let's get sexy, and try to get everybody else chanting, let's get sexy. I think it would be kind of fun, you know, kind of try to get as many people that listen to the show to go out to a game and hold up signs with something that, you know, is going to get them attention and get pictures of it and put it onto the Warpath Podcast website.
Something that makes no sense in baseball? Like, I ate a cheeseburger?
I ate a cheeseburger.
Or are you talking like baseball related?
Oh, either or. Either or. I think it's actually more fun if you don't get... Or if you don't have something related, you know, like the Let's Get Sexy sign. I have actually heard that if you can go to a game and get video of people chanting Let's Get Sexy, the Impractical Jokers will put it online and possibly even put it on TV. And
that's
like, they'll
awesome.
Send you gifts for it, you know, which would, I think, be hysterical, you know, to go out there and somebody start a chant of, you know, hey, my balls itch. or something like that. So, when the other team's closer's coming and, hey, my ball's itch. So, I think that'd be fantastic. So if you get the pictures, we'll put it online. I think that'd be funny as hell. So, but we're talking about pitching. Let's talk about the hitting a little bit. It's been up and down. Like we said earlier, the one guy that we expected to strike out a lot, Mark Reynolds, guy's hitting the piss out of the ball, and he's been pretty consistent, batting .286. He's got some strikeouts, but he's driving the ball. I think, is he still leading the majors in tied for home
runs? I think he might be in second.
Second, okay.
But still.
Still, I mean, that's what you signed him for. Last year, he didn't have 7 home runs until the All-Star break. And then he went on a tear with, I think, 20 home runs after the All-Star break. So we've got, I mean, what a smart signing.
The thing is, he also, his home runs are significant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big plus. You know, Tampa Bay win, the extra innings in mm-hmm. Toronto.
He's hitting them when they're necessary.
Yeah.
Which we have not had in a very long time. You know, we haven't had that guy when he goes up the bat, you feel the thunder. You know, just raining down through the place. At opening day, I think actually I was still sitting in the stands with you when he came up the bat. Bases were loaded, and he drove the ball to, I think it was to the left field wall.
Yeah, to the warning track.
Into the warning track, and the place was electric. I mean, that felt like 95, 97 all over again. Just the way that, you know, the opening day crowd went nuts because we were down, I think, was it 4 to...
It was something ridiculous.
4 to nothing already. And, he comes up and, granted, he, long fly ball, but he got a run in, which is, it started the rally to get it to, I think, 4-3 was what it ended up before Ubaldo just, threw gas.
I think we tied it.
Oh, we did tie it.
We tied it. Then, of course, he went out and did it again.
He went out and did it again. But so you've got Mark Reynolds, which just looks like a genius signing. And a guy, if he stays healthy, man, I mean, he could end up with 30-something bombs and we're, it's going to be tough. We're going to have to figure out a way to sign him again for next year. And then, Michael Bourne, he started off the season with a bang, unfortunately, with his finger.
I think the finger's costing them right now.
Yeah, the finger's really costing him because, I think moving Swisher in and out of first base and right field and maybe playing a little bit with him, yeah, he's a professional and, yeah, he's done it before, but I think you want to keep him in one place. Then you have to keep playing Ryan Rayburn out there. You're just switching guys all over the field. But again, another guy that's, been just really active, out there and has been doing a hell of a job is Michael Brantley.
Mm-hmm.
So far, you can't complain about him. But the best guy to have back so far, Carlos Santana.
Santana.
Yeah, he has just been money.
See, that's the hope with the season right now is, Drew Stubbs is holding us back. Oh, the phone lines are hot right now.
Yes.
The phone lines are hot. If you guys can't hear it, the studio phone is going off right now.
What do you think Dan would do if we answered that on air?
I'd be like, what are you doing?
I don't work for him, so I can't get fired. But
yeah, I can. But back to business, though. It's probably Drew Stubbs right now. He's hearing me talk about him. But, you have Stubbs holding you back. His bat is flat.
Yeah.
And it's, luckily it'll get hot, but, it's been proven that he's never been a hot hitter.
No.
But, when Bourne comes back, when Kipnis finally gets back into form, when Swisher starts getting hot, this team can take off.
Yeah.
There is still that potential. It's not like there's no talent. Like, the pitching, we're going to be worried about all season.
Yeah.
The batting, on the other hand, we know it's going to turn around.
Yeah.
It's just when is the question.
But I think the injection of Carlos Santana, I got to tell you, that was a rough, about 10 days where we had Santana and Lou Marcin out. And Lou Marcin, I just want to say, is the most manly of men I've ever seen. The hit that he took, it was like James Harrison on Colt McCoy.
Well, that's what I were going to bring up. If that was an NFL, that would have been a flag.
Oh, and yeah.
He might have been kicked out of the game if that was football. Definitely a fine.
Yeah.
That was a football ugly hit.
But the amazing thing is Lou Marcin's the one that put his head down.
Yeah.
I mean, he was tackling like James Harrison. And, I'm just sitting there like, oh, God, I saw it. I mean, they kept replaying it. It was, why do you got to keep showing that? But The guy got up and wanted to continue to play.
Yeah, they pulled him out.
Yeah, which was smart. I mean, the fact that he just came back today, you know, shows you that something was wrong. But that really hurt having to bring Gomes in, and you know, who I said was a pitcher back in spring training. But, you know, he did an all right job.
Well, it was,
but you needed to have Marson and Santana in there.
It's funny that you bring that up, that they pulled Marson out, because they didn't pull out Colt McCoy, and look what happened to him.
Yeah.
So it's funny, in a contact sport, you keep the pitcher or the quarterback in, but in baseball, where, you know, chances of him getting hit like that again are slim to none.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, yeah. Terry was smart.
Yeah, he was very smart.
A little bit smarter than Pat Shermer.
But now, I mean, Santana, I believe he's hitting 352, I believe, now, which if you can have your catcher with four home runs so far, and he's missed that as many games as he had, still batting 352. I think that just says that the season's looking very good for him. I'm seeing 9 RBI right now, 8 walks, 7 doubles. 7 doubles for a catcher. That's great.
Yeah.
So far. So, you know, he just looks like he's hungry for this season.
And, you know, you just got to get everybody else back in the form and get Bourne. When's Bourne coming back? He should be next week.
Bourne is coming back in the next couple days. Yeah, the next week.
Yeah, because he was a 15.
He was 15, retroactive to the day that he got hurt, though. So
that also eliminated, because we had a few days off.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we have off.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to miss all of Kansas City, but he could possibly be back for the 2-set versus Philly.
Yeah, yeah. Which they've got to get him back, because he was kind of the igniter for the team.
Mm.
You know, it was watching him, you know, he's a different leadoff hitter than we've had. And but he's been fun to watch, and they got to get that spark back in there. But another guy who came into the lineup and, you know, has hit a couple dingers, Jason Giambi.
Yeah, that was a shocker.
That was amazing to watch the first home run.
And I was at that one.
Yeah, first home run was awesome. And then against Houston, it was the only team that he had never hit a home run against.
That's impressive.
He's been around, 16 years, is it?
God.
1995. So
wow.
17 years. 16, 17 years he's been around. Only team he had never homered against, and he finally got it, and that thing was a bomb.
The thing that I, you know, am so mad about with him is the fact that he's wearing 25 on his back. That kills. That kills, because in my eyes, you know, I'm like looking at the big old guy. I'm like, oh, Jimmy's back. And now it's Jason. It's like, come on.
But you know what, though? I think he's been a great influence on the team so far. And, you know, he had a rough start at it. You know, man, I mean, watching him swing a couple of those times was just brutal. But he's been, you know, exactly what you needed. A guy you can plug in as a DH.
Hey, and he scored the first run on Monday versus Chicago.
Right. So, you know, he's been great. Nick Swisher, you know, it's been an up and down ride for him. I mean, he's had some game winners. And then some strikeouts. I'm showing, what is it, strikeouts. He's got 14 strikeouts so far, batting .288. So .288 is still respectable. That's what you're expecting from Nick Swisher. He's got 6 doubles, only 2 home runs.
Well, you know, just like any team, and I mean, it's very common in basketball, football a little bit, but also in baseball. You know, when you get pretty much a brand new team, it takes time to gel.
Yeah.
And that's what people are forgetting. You know, you're not going to be perfect. I mean, look at them. As much as I hate comparing anyone to the Miami Heat, their first season together,
It took them some time.
And probably somewhat with the Lakers, too.
And I would say this. I think Nick Swisher, probably more than anybody, has more pressure on him to perform because of the whole OHIO.
Yeah, he's the face of the franchise
now. That's a lot of pressure. So I'm not ripping on him for only having 2, you know, home runs. But
he has 2 more than the both of us put together.
Yes, that is very true. 2 more than I've ever had in my life. So I won't rib him for that. But, you know, you're hoping that he can catch fire and start now, you know, knocking some, you know, out of the park more and more. The guy that I'm really depressed with, though, is the guy that I picked as my player for the year, and that's Lonnie Chisholm Hall. Just not a good start to the year for him.
No.
You know, third baseman, you're looking for some power out of him. You know, he's had a couple errors that I've watched that I'm like, you know, that's an easy play. you know, and you got to wonder what's going on there. I mean, he's batting 245. He's got two dingers. He's got four doubles, but 15 strikeouts. I mean, he's not been very patient at the plate. Hasn't shown what they were hoping for him out of the gates.
And I really don't even have much to say about that. I think you just nailed it on that one.
Yeah, it's been depressing. But I mean, I don't even know that there's anybody behind him. I mean, Aviles has been all right, but you don't want to take Chisenhall. I think Chisenhall has more promise than Aviles. You know,
actually, I would prefer to have Aviles at for that third the whole time.
Really?
I said that on, you know, the episode before opening day. That's what I thought was going to be the starter.
Yeah.
You know, he played in the Classic very well. You know, came in second place. But I still think Aviles is the better off or better overall player. So I wouldn't mind seeing Aviles starting the whole time.
At third base, wow. See, it's tough. That's a tough one. I mean, he's batting, Aviles batting 250. He's got two walks, six strikeouts, six RBI, and a home run. It's tough for me to say. I mean, it might be the better option for a while until Lonnie gets a better grasp, because he's just, there have been at bats that I watched him where he just looks lost out there. I don't know if they need to send him back down to the minors for a little bit, let him get, but then you get into the territory. What was the third baseman that we had that, you know, everybody just kept praying, you know, he was bouncing back and forth.
You're talking about Jack Hanahan?
No, not Jack Hanahan.
Before.
I think we got him from the Yankees.
Aaron Boone?
No, not Aaron Boone.
How long ago were we gone?
Maybe not a Yankee, not the Yankees. Maybe he went to the Yankees afterwards. He was the project for.
Oh, Andy Marte.
Andy Marte. You don't want to bounce him like you did Andy Marte, because I think that was the worst thing for that guy, was he just kept bobbing up and down.
And where's Andy Marte nowadays?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone. So, I mean, I don't want to see that happen to Lonnie Chisenhall, but it might be the best thing because he just looks lost out there.
Yeah, Marte was what, like ranked one in all prospects?
Yeah, one in all prospects, and he is
nothing.
Number one in the toilet bowl. That was pretty much it. You know, it was he was a piss poor third baseman and batter.
Oh, he was terrible.
He was horrible. Just horrible. But you know, it's been an interesting year. As Drubal Cabrera, another guy that just looks lost out there, like we talked earlier. You know, he's going in there swinging first pitch and just brutal.
I mean, you never know. Maybe the coaching style they're still trying to get used to. I mean, it's a brand new office. You know, and Francona has proven himself. He might be holding a bit of a tighter ship now.
Yeah.
And they're just getting used to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be. But you got to see more out of his Drubal. I mean, he's kind of the key to it all.
Yeah.
Because as he goes,
he's a quarterback of the field.
Yeah, he's quarterback of the field. As he goes, the rest of the team's going to go. You can say Swisher's the guy. But really, is Drubal is the guy that everybody knows, and if he hits, yeah, just in his position, if he's hitting the ball, it's going to drive everybody else around the field.
Like on Monday.
Yes.
Monday was a prime example of it.
Exactly. So, you know, but coming up here, we've got, I don't know if there's anything else about the team that you wanted to kind of talk about.
Not really, but I mean, I do want to point out that Sin Soo Choo's having a great season.
Is he?
Yeah, he's been beamed like 13 times so far. He's holding the franchise record.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's playing some good baseball down south.
Wow.
But that's, you know, that's all we can really talk about with that, because I'm not going to trade Nick Swisher for Chew. I like our choice.
No. I think that was the right choice. I mean,
but I'm glad for him, though.
Yeah, it's better for both the team and the player that
it was Chew a good. It was a going. Good breakup. You know, yeah. It's like,
it was amicable.
Yeah, we, you know, we loved each other. But it just wasn't going anywhere.
I don't think that they. He no. was. I don't think either one was at the liquor store on a Friday night. You know.
Oh God. Yeah, speaking of that, let me just tell you, there are pictures of her wearing my Christmas gift on Facebook.
Is that what I saw on Facebook?
I didn't share.
Why people are thinking things?
Oh no! That's my good friend Patty. No.
Hey, what's going on with Patty?
No, nothing like that. But yeah. Anyways,
is she a listener?
No. I don't know how many female audience members we have, but God bless each and every one of you that's not the woman that gave birth to me. But the girls that I'm friends with know nothing about baseball. So
sometimes that's better.
Yeah, it is, you know, because they don't feel the fire when you're complaining.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it was a Great Lakes Brewing Company t-shirt, and you know, she's modeling it off on Facebook, and I'm like, well, what can you do?
Yeah.
What can you do? So
kind of, was it your Great Lakes?
Oh, it was
the one I got. Reminds me of, what was, the wedding singer with Adam Sandler's ex-girlfriend is wearing the Van Halen shirt. And he says, take it off before the band breaks up.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wish them luck, but you know, she's seeing somebody and she was wearing the Great Lakes shirt, and I'm like, well, also I got her Great Lakes gift cards in intention of me going.
Yeah.
And
you don't wish her good luck.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Because, I mean, she was a good friend of mine for years and stuff.
Do you want the pizza to
burn? No. It's all good. I wish them luck. The last thing I ever want to see is her miserable. Huh. But I don't say that with many girls in my life. But she's the one that, you know, I don't want to see her upset.
Yeah. You know, for me.
But talk about the Cubs fan from college, and yeah, she can cry all day. But that's a different story. But what are you saying?
See, for me, the girls that I dated in the past, which, if my wife's listening, was not very many. You know, I hope they're just... I no love for any of them. Unless they're listeners, and then they catch your great girls. Great girls. But, you know, this is a point where Nick is probably listening, going, what the hell are they doing? I told them to stay on topic. You know, I feel his look coming at me right now. So, you know, we're going to move on to, right now we're in the middle of the White Sox series.
Actually, can I just have one transition?
You can.
I do want to eventually...
It's our show. It's the Pizza and Pierogi show.
That is true. But I do want to write a book in the near future, kind of like the Max Tucker of Cleveland baseball. And I'm, you know, this is like the first announcement that I plan on doing this. Hopefully it's on the bucket list where I tell my funny stories, mm-hmm. like the foul pole style stories of my experiences on the road and, you know, whatnot. Stuff that's a little too crude to, you know, say on air. But I wanted to be called the three things that a man loves that will kill him: booze, women, and the Cleveland Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want. And on the cover, I want to be in a slider outfit with the slider head in one arm and a bottle of Jack in another. Because in my eyes, I got to give credit to Jack Daniels, because unlike Chief Wahoo and a pretty girl, he's not going to smile at you right before he kills you.
No. Although I have looked at that bottle a few times before.
Oh.
I passed out and it looks like it's smiling at me, but really it was just empty and it was laughing at me. It's pretty much it. So.
But I think that's enough with that, so we can...
Yeah.
To the next topic.
Again, this is our show. It's not Nick's show tonight. So, you know, he should have come in. He should have gotten a babysitter for the baby. And that's another one where he'll rip me next time, you know, with another, you know, he'll delve into my, you know, my private life and tell you guys about, you know, later on. But, you know, like the Pittsburgh thing.
Ugh. Which I still don't understand, but
still don't understand. But you know, so we've got the White Sox. We're going to be finishing up the series there.
No, it's over.
It's because of the rain out. It's over. But then we got the Royals coming up. Man, I mean, it's amazing to say that the Royals are in first place. I don't know if you remember it. I remember the last time the Royals were in first place.
I wasn't born when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and it's been one of those teams that I've always wished would come back, because
the George Brett era.
George Brett and Brett, you know, other guys. Was Brett Saberhagen was on those teams, wasn't he? No, the names that you probably don't remember. You know, when I was growing up, the Royals were one of those teams that you aspired to be like, and it was brutal to watch the small market teams go down as the money went up. You know, they just couldn't. I mean, the Indians were the same way until mm-hmm. they got a new ballpark. They could not keep up with what the other teams are doing. The Pirates, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, the Twins and the Indians finally figured out how to keep up with the major league team or the big league, big ballpark teams. But, you know, there were teams that just couldn't do it. And the Royals were one of them. And to sit here and watch them be in first place, it's like, whoa.
Well, like Texas was pretty much like that before, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, Texas has had oil money behind it, but I think they were always one of those teams that they just spent it wrong.
Oh, like A-Rod.
You know, yeah.
Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah, I mean, they spent money, you know, on guys that were not going to produce for them, or were, you know, I mean, A-Rod did produce for them, but not to the point that they were hoping that he would. And you can't afford that over time, and the Yankees could. You know, but, you know, we were talking about the Royals earlier, pitching-wise. Those guys are just tough.
I mean, they were, God, who did they get from Tampa Bay?
They
got two big names.
I am pulling it up right now. And this is what happens when you have the...
Well, they have Butler on there, too.
They've got Butler on there.
And he's a doubles machine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pull up...
Well, since we're on the subject...
go ahead.
You know, I've been trying to figure out where I want to go for my ballpark trip this year. And the awful thing is normally these trips are already planned. But, you know, a part of me really wants to go to Kauffman Stadium.
That would be a great place to go, except, you know, you kind of go through, I've heard, some pretty rough sections of town to get there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's... Kansas City's a tough town. It's, it can be a rough place, I've heard, but it's good barbecue.
Yeah.
It is good barbecue, but, so they, the roster for the Royals, pitching, they've got Bruce Chen.
Oh, Bruce Chen. You know, that's a story I can't tell on air. I can't tell that one on air.
Who are you looking for?
Well, I was going to talk about Bruce Chen, but I can't.
Go ahead. No,
I cannot talk about this. It is actually untalkable. I could tell you off the mic.
Oh, is this the one you told me yesterday?
No.
At the game?
No. This story, I have never... I was actually told by my mom I'm not allowed to tell this story. But Bruce... I know what's up, man. When you come to Cleveland, I know what's up. All right.
Wow. We'll just... Did your mom have an affair with Bruce Chen?
No. No, it's not about anyone in my family. But we'll just next topic. It's safer. We just go to next topic.
All right. Well, you were looking for somebody that they got, and I just pulled up there.
Okay. Who is it from Tampa Bay?
I know who you're talking about, but I'm just drawing a blank right now.
It's. I can't even think of it. Is this? James Shields. That's who. Okay. And somebody else. Wait, did they say, hey, Will Smith plays for him.
Will Smith does play for him. he is legend. So, but yeah, I mean, it's.
I just caught it on your joke, I am legend.
It's going to be interesting because coming up here, you know, against Kansas City, this is where the pitching, you know, is really going to have to pick it up. And the batting, it seems like we're actually at that place where our hitting is going to pick it up. You know, they've had their up and then they're down, and now they're going to come back up. But, you know, it's going to be a tough one here, you know, against Kansas City.
You know, and Philadelphia is struggling too right now. Mm-hmm. So maybe if things don't go so well in Kansas, well, we need to. It's a four-game series, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, splitting it wouldn't be the worst.
And it's back at home. We have to really.
No, Kansas City's in Kansas City.
No, Phillies, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, Phillies a two-game series at home.
Yeah, Phillies two-game series at
Who's
home.
Who's after that? That's a home series in first weekend of May.
That is going to be the Twins.
Okay, and after that is.
The Athletics.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's. You know, you've got two series. I mean, hopefully, I'm not sure how it's going to line up against the Phillies, but we may run into Cliff Lee, you know, one of our old guys. And, you know, there's going to be some great pitching coming up. So this is really going to be – it's going to test both sides of the you know, diamond for us. It's going to be the hitting and the pitching that's really going to have to show up.
On the bright side, though, the AL East is coming towards an end. Like, we're pretty much done playing them for a while.
Yeah, it's actually, we play the Yankees coming up on the...
Actually, 13th. No, I'm wrong, because we have, we're in Boston, like, the, what, 17th, 18th, 19th or something?
23rd, 24th, 25th.
Okay, and then we're 26th. In New York the first weekend, and then of June, and I think Tampa Bay's in between that.
Yeah.
So, no, I just, forget what
totally,
I just said.
Totally
yeah.
lied. But yeah. we have the makeup game with the Yankees from the 10th of April. On the 13th, so
yeah,
it's that's gonna suck for them. They gotta fly into town and then play one game and then fly.
Two.
Actually, both doubleheader. Teams doubleheader. Both teams have to fly into town to play one game or play on the 13th.
Oh wow, I didn't. What's the games after that one?
Then you go to the Phillies again.
And you're coming. Oh, well, on the bright side for the Indians, they have to go out east anyways, because they're going from Detroit and they'll stop in Cleveland and and go to Philadelphia, which is like a typical vacation. You got to stop somewhere to pee. So.
That's very
pee and eat. Pee and eat.
Very true. But, you know, as we're kind of winding down here, you know, and, you know, talking about this Royals-Phillies pitching versus hitting, you know, you got to really hope that we're going to pick it up. You know, I was talking to Major League Jake the other day, and, you know, he was saying that, you know, coming up is the stretch where we're going to really learn about this team. You know, they're not as good as we thought they were the first week of the season against Toronto. They're not as bad as we thought they were against the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, you just ran into a buzzsaw at those 2 points. Yeah. You know, but it's going to be a real telling month coming up here in May. I think May is where we're going to see what the team's made of, and then I think in June is where they're going to start making moves, where we're going to start seeing. I think we'll probably see Carrasco and Bauer up here in May. But I think after that, I think is where we might see – they may chip a guy out just to kind of say, hey, guys, yeah, you're having, you know, all fun, you know, in games, but time to hit the stride.
It's going to – they're going to get hot. You know, every team does. It's just when are we getting hot?
Yeah, they have to. So, but all right. So moving on, we're gonna get to a little you know, quick trivia here that we're gonna put out there, and you know, want you guys to post on our Facebook page what the answer is, and the first person to post with it, Nick will design a poster for of your favorite player, like we did the last time. He's working on those. The DP trivia challenge. DP could be double play, but it also stands for my buddy Danny Prinzo, and. Danny Prinzo is actually a Red Sox fan. He was gonna come in last podcast and talk to Red Sox, but it just didn't work out. He had to go out of town, and then the Boston bombing happened, and didn't want to bring him in town. We didn't have a podcast that night, but you know, we decided to just hold it off until now. But Danny is a baseball. Yeah, he's another guy that's a baseball encyclopedia, like Major League Jake, and he knows more about the Indians than most Indians fans do, even though he's a Red Sox fan. So the DP Trivia Challenge. Now, if you paid close attention in the last week, they actually brought this up. It's funny. Danny and I were texting back and forth, and 2 minutes after he texted me this question, and he was in Chicago, so he did not know that this question was asked during the game, was what team for the past currently has 5 players from the team who are current managers in the MLB?
Which... you know, if you follow baseball year-round, you definitely know the answer to this.
Yeah.
Because I've read articles on this.
Yeah, but it was pretty interesting. He just popped it up just like, boom. You know, we were sitting around having beers one night and brought it up to me. So what we're going to do is Danny is actually going to start calling in. Or not calling in, but, you know, voicemailing it into us. And we're going to start playing that. But he just hasn't had a chance to do that with the new Warpath podcast app that you can get on.
Definitely got
to
download that one.
Either on iTunes, or not iTunes, on your iPhones or on your Droid. It's Warpath, capital C-L-E. So lowercase Warpath, capital C, capital L, capital E. You know, so go ahead, Facebook that question to us. First one to do it, we'll put together a poster for you and a bumper sticker and ship it on out to you.
Yeah, well, you know, do we have what else is on this our agenda? Are we wrapping up? Or?
There's not a whole lot left on the agenda because, you know, without Nick here, you know, it just feels like something's missing. But it's been fun. Oh, and I'm breaking Dan's desk.
He's breaking
here,
the desk
so,
right now.
But, you know, we were going to talk about a couple things. One, we're looking at, you know, taking the show weekly to a weekly format, which you know, we had the pizza and pierogi. It's sometimes going to be pizza and pierogi. Sometimes it's going to be the Foul Poles. And we may actually be having our own Foul Poles podcast on warpathpodcast.com.
And the plan is it's not going to be as statistical like the like Warpath, where we actually talk about the game. We're going to be talking about more fan-esque things along the lines of best video game, best baseball video games. You know, like my stories about the road trips. It will be more about these, you know, our knucklehead Polacks over out here just being obnoxious Clevelanders. It's, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, talking about statistics or what we should do on the field. It'll be more about just goofing around at the ballpark. It'll be more lighthearted, I think, is probably the easy reads. If this was a newspaper, it'd be the personal interest.
I like it.
Or if you're lucky, ladies, the personals.
Oh.
So.
There you go. He's going to try to work some dates out of this.
I forget, like, that we don't have cameras in here because that was all facial and, you know, now it just sounded creepy.
Yeah, but it was pretty creepy.
That's neither here or there. But yeah, foul poles will be more goofy baseball topics. You know, we might do where's A&R Diaz. We might talk about Richie Sexson, just a full episode about it. It will be short. It would probably be like 10-minute podcasts, and that's they'll be posted hopefully weekly.
Yeah,
you know, as soon as possible. And
it's gonna be raw.
It's gonna be raw. Yeah. You know, it is the fat that you cut off the meat at the butcher's. That is foul poles.
Wow, that's quite the way to describe yourselves.
Yeah, yeah. The fat off the meat.
I like that. Yeah, so we're looking at doing that. Then you know, we're also in 2 weeks. It looks like Mike Polk, the creator of the hastily made Cleveland tourist videos and the Factory of Sadness, he wants to come in. You know, national comedian. That's going to be great to have him come
that's
in.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to bring Major League Jake back in. We're also going to be bringing in, you know, we're going to look to do a Skype with Forza Gemelli for the Twins series. So that's coming up. And I also talked to Chris Hodgson from Driftwood and Hodgepodge. Well, Driftwood's a restaurant, but Hodgepodge is a food truck that's out there. Chris is going to be one of the new stars of the Food Network, and met him about a week and a half ago. And his social media manager is a good friend of mine, and she had mentioned to him about the show. He wants to come on, so we're going to be bringing in one of the big Cleveland chefs to talk baseball. He's a big sports fan, and he's actually a really funny guy. So if you guys haven't been to Driftwood or you haven't been at the Hodgepodge when it's out on the streets, you guys got to check that out, and we'll let you know when we're having him on. Other than that, though, I think the first episode of Pizza and Pierogi,
you know,
didn't go so bad.
Here's the truth, everybody. Nick is the Mike Brown of Warpath. We actually fired him last week, and we're going to rehire him. That's the truth. We, you know, we act like he's babysitting his own son right now. No, it's the Mike Brown. Anthony and I, you know, scapegoated him for our mistakes, so we fired him, and we realized that we need him back.
Yes,
so. we he is the Mike Brown of Warpath Podcast.
So who does that make the? I don't know if you listened to the introduction today when he, you know, was introduced as the new coach. They talked about the elephant in the room. Who's the elephant in the room?
Oh, God.
I don't think we have one yet. Maybe
Joe. We'll just blame Joe.
Joe's the elephant in the room.
Just because, you know, Anthony and I are looking at each other. It's like, okay, do I take it or do you? And then we're like, oh, yeah, we have a third option, Joe.
I like that. Well, Joe is, you know, if we didn't have Joe, we wouldn't be getting to the mountaintop like we have been.
No, we wouldn't.
That's right. So Joe's our elephant in the room. But again, hey, it's been a great I don't know. I think we went actually longer than we thought we might. We really didn't have a very true script for tonight. Anything to, you know, lay it out. We just said we're going to just come in and do it because we didn't get to do it last week.
I mean, it was a pretty good show for two guys not wearing their pants.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm wearing Nick's robe. But it wasn't too bad, you know, and Nick's not in between us, so that makes it even weirder. But, you know. But, you know, thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, we'll be back. Actually, it looks like we might be back next week with another podcast. So check it out. Go Tribe. You know, this is Warpath Podcast, uploaded to the internet, downloaded into your heart.
Go Tribe.
Silence.